I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shotgun time for Lark. Throws the fade for Cortland Sutton. Sutton makes a diving effort, and he hauls it in for a Denver touchdown. Lark's first touchdown pass in his NFL career, 26 yards to Cortland Sutton.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that is just music to my ears on the Denver Broncos radio network. Another taste of football, even as we're in the middle of no man's land here. We've got the season behind us, but we're not quite to the point where we're working on 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He is from KOA in Denver, covers both the Broncos as well as the NFL at large. But right now, Brandon Cristall joins us from Indianapolis, site of the scouting combine. Well, let's talk about the big news, the CBA, the proposal, the pending vote. Brandon, what have you heard? What's the buzz about the vote for this new CBA?
Well, so what you're hearing is there's basically tiers, right? The Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson. They don't want the new CBA to be ratified because they don't think it's taking care of the players enough. But those guys are millionaires that, if they were to retire tomorrow, don't have to work. When the lower-level player hears that they're going to get $100,000 added to their salary and they're making $510,000, and now they can make $610,000, and they know they're not Aaron Rodgers or J.J. Watt or Russell Wilson. Not that they don't think they have a place in the league, but they don't think that they're going to be in the league for a decade or 12 years. You've got a split between the haves and the have-nots, if you will, and there's enough guys on the lower side that the sense I get talking to people around the league is that it's going to get passed, this new CBA, because these players on the bottom half, if you will, want to get it done so they don't have a work stoppage and they don't have to worry about where their next check is coming from.
From the Combine in Indianapolis, Brandon Cristall of KOA in Colorado covers the Broncos, but also general NFL with us After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So what else is there? What else are people buzzing about in Indy?
Well, so the Combine, which is obviously an unofficial NFL convention, and you, obviously you mentioned that I cover the Broncos. The Broncos don't have their assistants here, but every other team does, other than the Rams don't have their two coordinators, but all their assistant coaches are here. And so this is the time for the whole league to come together, but they've switched around the schedule this year. They've added these new drills. They've flip-flopped when the teams have meetings with players, and they've made it for primetime television, and it's going to start Thursday night with the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the tight ends on the field in primetime, and I think it starts at 4, which is obviously not truly primetime, but it starts at 4 in the afternoon versus, say, 10 in the morning, and you're sitting in your cubicle and you hear, oh, so-and-so just ran a 4.28. I can't wait to see that on my computer, or I'll watch it tonight when I get home. Well, now it's going to happen in real time. So the buzz around here is just everyone adjusting to this new schedule and seeing, okay, how's it going to work with these players in prime time and the fact that they get to meet with teams earlier in the day. And that to me is the more stressful part. The football part of it, these guys will get. And will they run amazing times or will they perform great on the field? That remains to be seen, but that's the natural part. It's the interviews with the teams that is probably the part that I'd imagine 95% of the players they're uncomfortable with, but know they have to work at, versus the football part of it, that comes naturally. And then the biggest thing that I think everyone's excited about, certainly not just those of us that cover the Broncos, but those of us that like the combine and like seeing guys run fast, is what's Henry Ruggs III from Alabama going to run, and what's Jalen Reagor going to run? Are they going to go sub 4.22? Are they going to challenge John Ross's time? Are they going to post something that's record-setting? And then what will that mean for their draft stock? So that's certainly what I'm looking forward to, and I think that's the buzz that I get here around Indy is what will these kids run when they get the chance to run tomorrow.
Mm. We know that Tua is not going to be running, and yet it's pretty amazing to me that he might be cleared in a couple of weeks and would hold a pro day in April. What are your impressions of him as well as Joe Burrow, who spoke on Tuesday?
Well, so we'll start with Joe Burrow and we'll work backwards. Joe Burrow, and I talked to Brady Quinn earlier on Wednesday, and Brady, obviously a first-round pick from a high-profile program, an Ohio native drafted by a team nearby where he grew up, and we know it didn't work out. Well, Joe Burrow's in a similar situation. It's not that he's a lifelong Bengals fan, but he grew up in southern Ohio, a couple hours away in Athens, where his dad was a coach, and now he's got a chance to go to a team that needs him but hasn't been a great franchise of late. At the same time, you realize, okay, this kid has put on he had the best season we've seen maybe in history of college football. Now, something Brady Quinn said was that this is the best single season he's ever seen of any player, not just any quarterback. So with Joe Burrow, you hope that he works through whatever his hesitation is. And for all you want to say about the Bengals, and they're a frugal organization, and they have a really small scouting department, and they cut spending wherever they can and cut corners, they've put some really good players on their roster. You can start with A.J. Green and Geno Atkins and then go down. There's a reason Marvin Lewis went to the playoffs all those years, and Andy Dalton was able to get them to the playoffs, and Carson Palmer, and you go through the list, right? And so can Joe Burrow take them to a different level with Zach Taylor? I guess that remains to be seen. Mm. Then you look at Tua, and he's getting compared to Russell Wilson, or you talk about Steve Young. We haven't seen a left-handed quarterback in years. But when you complete 70% of his passes, not only are teams like the Dolphins excited about him at 5, the Lions at 3 have a really tough choice to make, because will they decide to draft him and maybe move on from Stafford, or are they open for business, which I think they are, because there's teams that want to frog the Dolphins, or Miami has to jump up to 3 to secure Tua Tagovailoa. But everything you're hearing about is that his medical has come back good and that he's ready to get out and play. Comparing him to Russell Wilson may be unfair to the kid, or the comparisons to Drew Brees even, but both Burrow and Tua have a chance to come in and play. And here's something, Amy, and you and I have talked for years. It's mind-blowing to me that there's 330 million people in America, and we can't find 32 good quarterbacks, but I think both Tua and Joe Burrow will help that number increase.
I thought it was pretty funny to hear what John Elway had to say about Tom Brady. Not that I don't expect Brady to leave New England, though I guess it is still a possibility. How much talk is there about the veteran quarterbacks that might be available?
Well, so you start with Tom Brady, of course, and it depends on who you ask. And you hear the story that, oh, he's got a chance to go play with his old teammate Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, and they're the leaders in the clubhouse. Or what about the Chargers with the new palace that Stan Kroenke's building for the Rams, the Chargers are going to play in, or, of course, the Raiders. So will he leave or will he stay? That's at the top of the list. Drew Brees coming back, but then will Phillip Rivers come here to Indy and play for the Colts? Where's Cam Newton going to go? And you just go down the list. What about Jameis Winston? Will he go to Chicago and battle with Mitchell Trubisky? Will Ben Roethlisberger have anybody challenging him? And so this is a crazy quarterback class. Where's Marcus Mariota going? Is Ryan Tannehill going to re-sign with the Tennessee Titans? So we've never seen anything like this. And I was obviously there in Denver when Peyton Manning was released by the Colts, ends up in Denver, and you're like, holy crap, for lack of a better phrase, Peyton Manning's coming here. The only other time we ever saw that was Drew Brees, but he's coming off the shoulder injury, and he certainly wasn't where Peyton Manning was in his career when Drew left San Diego and ends up with New Orleans after it didn't work out in Miami because they were nervous about him. So this quarterback class has certainly got everyone buzzing, and you're trying to figure out where are these guys going to go. And so it'll be fun to watch in a couple of weeks when the tampering period opens up March 16th and people can sign March 18th, where all the dominoes fall. And then with Brady, because he's obviously the GOAT, where does he go? How about this, though? And I heard this earlier this week. Tom Brady is going to be 43 when the season starts.
Right.
That's 6 years older than Joe Montana was in his final season in Kansas City.
It is pretty incredible. And even though we didn't have a good season last year, most people point to the receiving core or the lack thereof, as opposed to it being Brady falling off the map. Brandon Cristall with us from Indianapolis here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So other than the quarterbacks, other than the potential vote on a new CBA, what else are you hearing? Maybe something else that that's not getting nearly as much attention.
With the Raiders opening up in Las Vegas and the NFL moving to Las Vegas, if you will,
right,
with the draft going to be there, with the draft there starting this spring, and then a Super Bowl down the road, as well as what's going on in LA and with the combine potentially moving there. Those are the big storylines that maybe people aren't talking about, but they're going to be really big things, because I've come to Indianapolis for more years than I can count, and they love having the combine here. But when they build an 85-acre campus next to SoFi Stadium there in Southern California, and they build that palace in Vegas, what will that mean? Is the NFL going to become more of a West Coast-centric league, if you will? Mm-hmm. I think it's inevitable. So while it's not being talked about as openly as, hey, where's Tom Brady going, it's in the back of everyone's mind that, you know what, you better enjoy your time in Indy because it's going to be short-lived.
That's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. That's kind of a cool idea, something to think about. Okay, you can find Brandon on Twitter at BK Denver Sports. So normally covering the Broncos, but also there in Indianapolis at the Combine, keeping the pulse on the NFL for KOA in Colorado. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. I really hope you get a little bit of sleep.
I'm going to get at least 20 or 30 minutes. So I appreciate it, Amy. Great talking to you as always.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.